Find out the latest in the world of video game news with Brian Hager and Jason Block on Pixel Nation this coming Monday. Then Jim Williams and crew will talk about where we are in Major League Baseball after a month and a half into the season. That's Untouchable coming on Tuesday. Then next week we'll talk about what's going on in the world of the NFL with the BS Big Show presented by FanJunkies.net. But coming up next, Heyman Construction is back in business. It's the North America Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. And as always with the North America Wrestling Connection, there is graphic language and pony sounds. Hey Jim, take cover. Scootaloo! Roger.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC.
Silence! Song. Randy has voices inside his head. Just watching him puts me to bed. It puts me to sleep. Randy walks down here on this ramp. His expression stays the same. Does his pose up in the corner. Can't think of anything more lame. All his tattoos are disgusting. All that oil on him is heinous. I guess you get to sit back and watch me beat this ignoramus.
That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So you approve of that?
Oh, I think it's awesome. You can see Damian Sandow on JBL and Cole Show, WWE YouTube.
Come on.
What a star. That's awesome. Heinous. What are you talking about?
Heinous doesn't even rhyme with ignoramus. That was close.
And even Damian Sandow, American Idol, and savior of the masses, could see from the distance what we've been seeing for years.
Baby oil!
Thankfully, we won't be talking too much about Mr. Orton tonight here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a handful of the rabble here. We'll start with the man on the other side of the planet, Shane Beeman.
Good day.
We also have our clueless from California, Ethan Muslin.
But still standing and applauding because Damian Sandow still is best pony.
And finally, from the hopefully still sunshine state, Chris Waters.
I'm back and better than ever. Got a knack for making things better.
We'll see. We'll see if you are correct about this. We have another light week in wrestling, and the big thing that I'm going to start with is a scare that's going on with this triple threat ladder match coming up at Extreme Rules. News came out on late Tuesday or early Wednesday that Ziggler had a concussion. Well, it turns out it wasn't from the SmackDown tapings, Shane. It was from Monday night.
Oh wow! I was watching over SmackDown to see what sort of serious bump he could have friggin' taken to get a concussion, and now to find out he's down on Raw, I have to double look Raw, see what happened.
I might be able to help you out on that. Per WrestleChat.net, Ziggler had been interviewed by WWE.com, and he explained where he thinks it happened. Because he didn't even remember Monday until he watched Raw when he had got home from traveling. He doesn't remember traveling from Raw to SmackDown. He doesn't remember Tuesday. He remembers talking to AJ and Big E on Wednesday morning. They pointed out the possible cause of this was during the Schmoz Monday night, when a ladder was introduced in the ring during another mess with Swagger and Del Rio and Ziggler. The ladder was in the middle of the ring. Ziggler reaches down to get it. Swagger comes up and boots him in the head. So, because I'll tell you, I watched all of SmackDown and I didn't see anything severe enough. And even looking at the kick that he took on Monday night, Chris, I didn't think that would have done it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that out of all the things that could happen to Ziggler with what he does, that's when he gets the injury. But if him getting injured like this is, it's kind of amazing that he did that, because I thought it might have been the ladder that did it when he did it there, but I looked at the footage again from that, and that was towards his shoulder and back, unless I thought it might have been something, might have just like tapped his head enough that he got one from that, but it wasn't.
And it wasn't from anything, you know, it wasn't from the match, it wasn't from the ladder, but it was from this freak thing on Monday night. Now, Ziggler has admitted this is probably the worst concussion he's ever had, because he's never had the amnesia to go with this, which probably makes it at least a grade 2. I'm no doctor, Ethan, but that's scary as hell.
Oh yeah, definitely scary. You would think, yeah, just a regular kick to the head wouldn't do that, unless for some reason Swagger may have hit a sweet spot.
And to that, we've got, you know, we're still a little over a week away from Extreme Rules. Do you think you think Ziggler will be able to pull through for this?
They'll probably give him a light workload, or if they are not confident enough, they'll probably, you know, they'll pull the whole doctor's note excuse like they typically do. But if Ziggler wants to work the match, they will give him a light workload. They'll probably give him a sneaky win.
I could go with that. Chris, your thoughts on this?
I think if they want to try to have him, just they should not have him in any physicality throughout the week. See what he is by the time the pay-per-view comes around. By the time the pay-per-view comes around, if he's able to go, then have him do a light workload. If he's not able to go, then either do a doctor's excuse or have Swagger attack Ziggler in the back, severely doing him, and kind of like when they knocked CM Punk out of that champion scramble match, but this time you have a reason for doing that.
Okay. No, you're right. That's the scenario. That just hit me the wrong way, man. I was one of the I was one of that handful of people at Unforgiven 08.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
And if they do that, do you turn that ladder match into a number one contenders match? Do you keep it a title match? What are you going to do?
I would say do it as, since they were scheduled for the title match, you put the title up for contention there, because that's kind of like a forfeit for Ziggler. But that would
yeah,
be
but
just...
do they really want to drop the belt that early for Dolph?
And I have another problem. That just increased the odds of Swagger, who has, you know, first of all, might be the one responsible for this concussion, plus all the other shenanigans he's had to deal with before WrestleMania. If he wins, this is all you're going to be hearing from me.
So we do that every time Cena wins a title anyway.
Well, no, this is a stronger situation for me, because lol, Cena wins. I'm used to that. Swagger's got two strikes against him in my book. So
yeah.
I think what they could do is I like the sneaky win. I don't expect him to actually do anything in ring this week. Because if WWE.com went ahead and interviewed him about the concussion, then they can go ahead and use that on TV and, you know, keep Ziggler out of the ring. Let Big E do some of the work. And then when we actually get to the pay-per-view, if he's cleared, we have a match. If he's not cleared, we do the sneaky win and do something where Big E, you know, where Big E and AJ do tons and tons and tons of interference.
So similar to something like the WrestleMania 17 ladder match where they had the ball of interference in there, only even more so.
Well, and I just don't want it to turn into a situation, Shane. I'll take another example. SummerSlam 2003, where Triple H was hurt, but they didn't have any plans on moving the belt, so they just kind of knocked him unconscious and let everybody kill each other until he woke up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But then again, I know. I guess that's the sort of road where you're thinking about going down anyways, because that's pretty much what everyone's saying. Like, either he doesn't work the match at all, or he does, and he just acts injured or whatever, and then sneaks in for the win. So I guess we're going to get SummerSlam 2003 all over again.
Yeah, it's a possibility, but they might do something where they can give him like one big spot, like maybe a big ladder spot or a table spot, and just have him play dead for like 10 minutes.
In all honesty, we've... Dolph Ziggler having that, like, a possible grade 2, I wouldn't even risk giving him a ladder spot.
Yeah, in retrospect, that's just not a good idea either.
Yeah,
because all he has to do is hit the back of his head, and that's it. End of career.
Yeah, they were... I've had a concussion before, because it's a long story why I have one, but because of that, they didn't even... It wasn't even a major concussion like Dolph seems to have here. But the fact is, they didn't want me on the high school wrestling team for a couple of weeks while I had that concussion. And now that they know even more about concussions nowadays, and with the incidents with Chris Benoit in the past, they don't want anything like bad to happen anymore.
And I vouch for that as well, having gone through a grade 1 myself, which was nothing more than a handful of headaches. I don't even want to think about, you know, being blanked out for extended periods of time. That's just scary.
Oh yeah, I myself got knocked silly at one point and don't even remember when I took a nap and woke up. It's like, what the hell happened?
I was gonna say, does it still affect you now?
No, that's a completely different story for another time.
Ah, gotcha.
That's what he'd like you to believe.
So let's move on to some of the other stuff that's going on the card. You mentioned Cena, Ethan, so now I'm going to get to torture you with him. Cena and Ryback had a little exchange on Monday night where Vicky Guerrero said she would be a fair and impartial judge about allowing them to pick the stipulation. Ethan, you wanted to sign off. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, you know, I can see what they're trying to do, trying to say, oh yeah, Vicky's gonna be really nice. No, it's gonna be some horrible grudge fest of a match.
Oh, it is, because Ryback picked Last Man Standing. So here was the general response of the IWC.
You fool!
Yep. Yeah, that's about right.
So, let's see. Shane, has Cena ever lost a Last Man Standing match?
No, and that's the thing. Add on that the fact that Cena's never lost a Last Man Standing match, and then the fact that Ryback really needs this win at Extreme Rules. If Ryback doesn't win, I think people are going to riot.
I'm going to interrupt you right there, because I'm doing a little fact correcting here. He has lost two. He lost the one against Edge when Big Show threw him to the spotlight, and he lost one against Alberto Del Rio when Alberto was champion, if I remember correctly.
Spotlight spot? What? I almost
that was,
didn't...
That was Backlash.
Yeah, that was it was a backlash, but we're just trying to remember. I didn't, you know, I was trying to remember if it was Last Man Standing or not, but it may as well have been. But Cena popped up, you know, within the week. Cena.
I'm just making sure we're all straight here. He has lost them. It's just he hasn't lost one fairly yet.
No. So that means that Ryback will have to do so by any means necessary. Because Cena's heel turn caused him to do something to his Achilles doesn't mean that he's going to get slowed down much. Now, I want to throw something in with this and just to build on this. On SmackDown, Ryback faced Chris Jericho after a rather tense highlight reel. But there was some really intriguing commentary that went with this. They were talking about Ryback's chances. And despite Cena's injury, Cole kept saying, Cena's going to win. I have faith in Cena. Josh suddenly blurts out, what are you talking about? You sound like JR backing Austin. You know, you're just going to sit there, you know, still kissing up to Cena. You think, you know, Cena's going to be around forever? Or something to that effect. It really perked my I had to cock an ear to this one because I was like, holy crap. You know, that felt like a shoot. Chris, was I hearing things?
To be perfectly honest, when I was watching SmackDown on there, I kind of tune out the commentary most times. But if that is what happened there, it would be kind of funny if they allowed it. They kind of make intrigue that instead of just Cole just saying, "Oh, Cena's gonna win," so there, and Josh agreeing with it, having somebody not believing kind of makes in Mark's eyes a little bit of an intrigue because I just forgot what I was saying. I just blanked out. I was swinging it for a moment there.
Shane, it was some pretty smart-tastic commentary. I thought that's a good word for it.
Oh, definitely. It definitely made you want to stand there, sit there and listen to it, which is like a first time in ages. But no, definitely. But I was more intrigued with the fact that it was Josh Matthews that came out with that. It's like, what the?
I felt like that was something JBL should have said. It definitely felt more like something that would come out of JBL's mouth.
It should have been in retrospect, but I guess they wanted to throw people watching at home completely off guard, like, and have Josh Matthews do it. So I guess they're building Josh Matthews to be a new heel commentator? I don't know.
Go ahead.
Maybe they're just making Matthews into like a neutral ground kind of thing. They're making Cole more of the face, JBL the heel, and Matthews will just see it, call it as he sees it. Either way, kind of sort of what he did in NXT 2 when he actually agreed with Cole that Alex Riley was going to win that. We saw how well that worked, but then that's another story.
So it just was curious. I think it was supposed to be used as a little bit more build and to add intrigue, but sorry, Ethan, I'm still in the lol Cena wins camp on this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that camp too, unfortunately.
And Shane, while I agree with you, Ryback really needs this win. It's definitely not going to be a clean one.
I don't care if it's not a clean one or not, but all I know is, this is a big if, because like we've said, Cena has no-sold some of the biggest things that should have happened, like Big Show throwing him through the spotlight, bringing Lesnar nearly breaking his arm. Like, come on, man. It's like Ryback better beat the crap out of him, and Cena better be gone for a little bit, just to give the young guys the chance to pick up their game. But that's wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Let's go to another part of the match. part of the card. And this part of it brought to you by
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
Twitter had been blowing up Monday afternoon as my dear Uncle Paul and his client decided to go visit Stamford. And thanks to some pics taken by employees and security video and a few other bonus items, WWE.com was able to give us a full account of Brock Lesnar intimidating everybody in front of him, taking the elevator to the fourth floor, and points to my Uncle Paul for knowing the Fandango theme and being able to whistle it. going to the evil boss, Dr. Levesque's office, where I honestly think they just switched a couple of plates around, because when you went in there, you got to watch Lesnar smash a balsa wood desk, snap a laptop, Edge did it better, punch out a monitor, throw a giant TV, and do a little bit of other damage to the office as a threat to Triple H. I think the topper was, there was a sledgehammer hanging on the wall that should have, in case of emergency, grab here, written over it, that Lesnar borrowed, got a hold of a replica world title, and bashed the living shit out of this thing that my Uncle Paul had it with him. And Shane, it looked like somebody had used the soda cannon from Mythbusters to shoot the center plate.
You think? I mean, I saw what Lesnar did with that sledgehammer. It didn't even look like he made a dent in the thing, but when Paul Heyman's got it, it's like indented, like it's been shot with something. It's like, oh my god. When I saw Paul with the World Heavyweight title, I was thinking, future world champion? I don't know. It was definitely a great thing from it. I just got a bit ticked off with the fact, he had these stupid marks after it saying that Triple H absolutely no-sold the office being bashed.
By saying this is his second
office is in the ring, which... Take it as you want.
Well, I think, you know,
in fairness, it was maybe about what, $300 in damage.
Yeah, and there was some valuable stuff that was in the office that wasn't touched, like a framed autographed picture of Killer Kowalski. That, you know, Lesnar should have been snapping over his knee. That awoke the doc up.
How about the end of an era match photo that was still standing? Shawn, Triple H, mm-hmm. Taker.
Yeah. That was still intact. You know, there was stuff there that was there to try to make you think that this was the doc's office. But I'm sorry.
The IKEA furniture didn't help.
No, I have a better desk than that.
I have a better desk than that. The one I have right here that my desktop is sitting on is like 25 years old. Still sturdy.
But that's what I mean. You know, somebody who's a COO would not have that kind of junk crap in his office. So
or
I
lack
just,
of windows.
Unless profits really were that bad.
We had the first quarter numbers on a prior show, and they're not that bad off. Like I said, I just think that the doc switched the plates or switched out some of the furniture just so that he could show up on Raw, look my dear Uncle Paul in the eye at the Jumbotron and say,
"Admit it, I'm an asshole."
So it's a nice touch to keep them separate for now, but Shane, the trashy office was comedy than anything else I could think of.
Yeah, exactly. I like you said, with Paul doing the Fandango theme in the elevator. And then add on, like, yeah, just Trip Brock sitting there and being called the future World Heavyweight Champion and COO. It's like, oh, this is a comedy skit. But hopefully the face-to-face confrontation next week will bring a bit more... and yeah, another interesting question. Why no security? Like, come on.
Even if I had a gun, I don't know if I could try to slow down Lesnar.
Yeah, but the face-to-face confrontation this upcoming Raw should hopefully be make up for the comedy skit that we got this week.
Yeah, and besides, we had a better comedy skit with the Fandango dance-off.
Can I interrupt about something? I wanted to mention something that I liked about that skit. When Lesnar pulled the TV off the wall and threw it at the WWE logo behind the desk, I kind of liked how that WWE logo just kind of broke when he did it. It was kind of symbolism in a way, like Lesnar is trying to destroy WWE in his own way. But that was maybe just me that I saw that.
No. You're right. I thought I'd mention it. Anyway, but you're right.
You mentioned the TV. You didn't mention him hitting the logo, though.
That's true. He hit the logo and split the W's to prove that there are two W's when it comes to World Wrestling Entertainment. We just don't know which one he killed.
If it's up to Vince, he killed wrestling. No.
Shh. Don't give him ideas. Meanwhile, back at the arena, Jericho and the Hip Hop Hippos are having fun making fun of Fandango in a dance-off with the Great Khali. And, Ethan, I wish you had seen this, because this was hysterical.
Oh, yeah?
Well, they...
Wait a minute. Wasn't the dance-off last week, and then this week it was a match with R-Truth?
Well, that's right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Easy to forget.
I still hold up the. I still want that Jericho with the zero. I think they were still judging. They were still judging Truth's match, though.
Yeah, they gave. I think they gave Truth a couple of tens during the match.
And I remember Brodus digging through his signs because he couldn't find his ten.
And it's Fandango's first loss as Fandango.
Which is scary. He lost to R-Truth of all people.
Yeah, his NXT pro.
Yeah, you can hear the slow flush.
What was the count out, so?
That's right.
Oh, Ethan, if you wanted to hear a very slow flush, Vince was getting so close to almost making Extreme Rules a flush by making he was thinking about putting the dance off on Extreme Rules.
No, just no. Did I mention no?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'd chuck a big Daniel Bryan one there and go, no! Absolutely not.
So no. Let's go to something that's more appropriate for Extreme Rules, and that is the escalations with Mark Henry and Sheamus. Now, Ethan, you didn't have to see Raw, but did you see the pictures of Sheamus after Mark Henry crap out of him with
Holy
a belt?
Holy crap! I knew he was going to get some welts, but holy Moses!
Mm-hmm. Up and down his back, a couple on his chest, and I think I almost think he does it on purpose because he knows it'll show up so well on his skin.
Yeah.
So, that put him aside because I don't believe he showed up on SmackDown. So, Chris, they decided to let Mark Henry show off his strength. And you asked me an interesting question before we came on the air.
Yeah, for me, I know he said he was going to do it as the show he can drag around drag around Sheamus, like it was nothing, but. For me, you see this guy, he says he's going to do something so incredible, break a world record, and actually do it, not like Dino Bravo back in the day. and he pulls two huge trucks, tractor trailer trucks, something that you would see Michael Bay paint up to look like Optimus Prime, and pull them up together by himself, with the primetime players cheering him on and Damian Sandow watching wearing his robe at the time. And he does it, no problem, and nothing comes from that. So why am I supposed to boo Mark Henry on that when Sheamus has been such a dick the whole thing? Even if Mark Henry did tackle him a couple of times before the thing.
Shane, you want to try to answer that?
I'm sorry, I got lost after the whole Optimus Prime comment.
Okay. Mark Henry is doing this incredible stunt, which is reminiscent of his World's Strongest Man betting days back in 01, when he and Farouk were frustrating the daylights out of Test. How are we supposed to boo Mark Henry when we can see him do this, some of this awesome stuff?
You can't.
Yeah.
You absolutely can't. I'm sorry. Even when... doesn't matter whether you're a WWE fan or not, but anytime you see someone do something amazing, whether you love them or you hate them, you can't help but cheer it. I mean, look at what happened. Like, Lesnar was a heel. First time he... actually, I don't know if he was a heel. But, like, first time he picked up Big Show and F5'd him, people went nuts for that. Cena FUing Big Show, people went nuts for that. And now seeing Mark Henry drag two trucks behind him over a line, and you're going to boo it? No, you're not. You're going to be like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Mark out moment, bro.
Yeah,
if they revealed somebody was in the trucks driving them, that would have been a different thing. But
see, this is what I thought was going to happen when they were doing the two trucks, because you notice it took him two or three tries. After the second try, he turned back towards the trucks, and I thought he was going to start screaming at them about having the brakes on. And Sheamus behind the wheel of one of those trucks. And of course, this would have erupted into vehicular mayhem that we're not allowed to do. So, you know.
It gives me too many horrible memories.
Sorry,
no
man.
No more crippling people's asses NWO style.
Yeah, because I just saw Hogan and the Giant in the monster truck sumo match.
Oh, jeez.
Why?
Because when you see a train going off the rails, you have to watch.
I guess so. That's why I watched WCW till the end, pretty much.
Ditto.
That's why I rewatched some of the clips, because WWE.com put up a thing on there with like 20 WCW stupid moments that you may have forgotten about, including Sting getting attacked by dogs and Hogan having telescopic visions to see the wall from like 50 feet away or something.
What's a big guy? Oh, that's not what you meant.
No.
I had the dubious honor of almost meeting him, and he was not small. You know, God love him, God's got him. But something else WWE.com put up was an interesting article regarding a certain abtacular gentleman who lives out in your area, Ethan.
Ooh.
Mr. Jomo got some publicity by talking about his new workout program called Out of Your Mind.
All right, Nikki. I'm going to ask you right now.
Yes.
Go ahead and grab your bib because I know you're going to be drooling.
Yay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Jaws are supposed to connect to the body, not all the way to the floor, Nikki.
But I have 8 very good reasons to be intrigued by this interview. Because it wasn't only the fact that he was bragging about this program that took him a couple of years to develop. And judging from some of the stuff in the video that I watched, incorporates not only just basic exercises, but a lot of more intricate movements that he probably had taken out of the parkour program. But at the end of the interview, he drops a huge hint about him coming back. And I wish I had the handy. And shame on me for not having it handy. Too busy looking at pictures, sorry. As the audio tech is looking for me. It's the end of the article. That's all I have to say. Let's see if I can find it real quick myself. But
funnily enough, that's not the only return recently that WWE has teased. Because I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but the recent stuff up that WWE did by putting MVP on the superstar page instead of the alumni page had a lot of people talking.
Ooh, that I did not hear about.
Yeah, I thought he really didn't like WWE when he was leaving it, but maybe something's changed since then.
It's called money.
Well, that too, but...
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. Yeah. Millions of dollars. Here's the line. Someone inquired about a WWE comeback, and Jomo responded, and this is a direct quote, "By the time you hear the thunder, it will be too late because lightning would have already struck."
Hmm.
So, probably sounds like not.
It sounds kind of like he's trying to bring back his old Morrison with that kind of line.
I want Palace of Wisdom Morrison back. I loved Existential Morrison. That was just some amazing, trippy, crazy stuff. But nobody will explain to me why a Doors impersonator is coming out to Hendrix. Seriously. Just wondering.
It's wrestling. It's not supposed to make sense.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm injecting logic.
Yeah. Oh, what fun is there in making sense?
Ah, John DeLancey.
Ah, that's something I was waiting to hear. That's another sound I was waiting to hear. Let's see what the GM's got for me.
On his on the Tiger Electronics edition of WWF WrestleMania, what's the GM got to say?
It's a text crawl during a match between one blob and another. Okay, here we go. If the Jomo stuff doesn't have you drooling, let me throw some names at you that are currently going through the medical processes before being signed by WWE. Mike Bennett, Sean Ricker, Big Game James, Samurai Del Sol, Sammy effing Callahan.
Ooh.
For those of the East Coast variety, Sammy's worked a lot with Dean Ambrose. So, if the Shield needed another member, it would be Rollins and Reigns in the Switchblade Conspiracy.
It's a mark out moment! A mark it out, bro!
Oh, sorry. that's a little too much for me in the last 6 or 7 minutes. I think we need a break.
Yeah.
Nikki's got to fan herself off, ladies and gentlemen.
I declare!
Just got me the honey glow something fierce. Anyway, the vending machines are plugged in and the restrooms are unlocked. Let's take a time out here. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at. Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore. Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLW83.com.
American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net, Nikki Heyman with Ethan Muslin, Shane Beeman, and Chris Waters. Now, during the break, somebody had pointed out to me that a match has been added to the Extreme Rules card, which will be Randy Orton versus The Big Show in an Extreme Rules match. Why do I get this image of Randy Orton with a shopping cart?
I don't want him channeling New Jack. Please don't.
No.
Just don't.
No, New Jack's got other things to do.
Yeah, it's a shopping cart, not a trash can. If anything, he's channeling Raven from his WWF run.
That's true enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but New Jack's name actually has popped up, and VRM might get scared. Let me find the article. Because WrestleChat.net sometimes needs a kick or two. Where is it? I just saw it. I heard that.
Sorry.
Somebody's getting a keyboard alongside the head in a second.
It's not my fault they Botchamania linked that together.
You'll hurt it on my... You'll break it on my head. I've got a size 8 cranium here.
That's right. You got a...
I got a near air train Tensai, whatever you want to call him. I got a near version of his head, pretty much.
Well, if I can get this thing to go back a page, I will find this. But with that added... Ah, yes. No, New Jack decided to show up on The Daily Show as an urban correspondent. I don't know who got the paper, the box of paper to the head, Chris?
Yeah, I'm just more worried that he came into the studio and got Jon Stewart with the staple gun.
I'd watch. No, seriously, a Extreme Rules match is pretty much the same thing as No Holds Barred, you know, anything goes, you know, whatever they happen to find and bring along, and hopefully Big Show will beat the ever-loving crap out of Randy Orton.
Hopefully.
I can only hope.
If Although, he does, can we get RNN Randy Orton back?
Please? Oh, please? Because Randy left his personality back in 2003.
Give me back the Legend Killer.
At the very least, have him do another star jump like he did that one SmackDown.
Oh, good lord. Anyway, that's more Randy Orton than I wanted to talk about, but the only thing that Big Show has to worry about is trying to actually hold the man down. Baby oil. So... We were joking about money earlier in the show, and actually we were joking a little bit about it over the break because we were talking about Hulu Plus. WWE is going to maintain content on YouTube, and apparently they were approached to graduate their channel, I guess, to a subscription service, and WWE said no, there's no need for that. Mm-hmm. So what does the fine competition at TNA do?
The exact same thing.
The exact opposite thing, Mr. Ethan.
Ah, yes, because it is TNA, and they have to do exactly what the opposite of what the Fed does.
Exactly. So they said, yeah, we're going to charge everybody for our content. How... I don't know anybody who even pays for their pay-per-views.
I think I bought one pay-per-view of theirs, and that was the 1 cent pay-per-view that they did years ago. That's about it.
So, Shane, you still with us?
Oh, I'm still with you, and it's just TNA. Like, I've really got nothing positive to say about it. Like, I've watched this past week's episode. And the thing that everybody was asking for the most, the return of Abyss, got no reaction whatsoever. It was like, oh my god, this is why TNA sucks.
And I just giggle at the fact that they want to charge for YouTube content, and... Sorry. I'm guessing most of their fan base doesn't pay for their pay-per-views. They get them through... other means.
Other nefarious means.
The five.
Well, at least most of them in the UK.
Yeah, but just, you know, the internet discount, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
So, to think that TNA is going to make any money off of their, you know, off of their YouTube content amuses me no end. Okay, that's funny. The good news, Shane, is that all they've lost is time and they can press delete.
Yeah, but it will never be deleted from their minds of how much time was wasted.
Oh, granted, you'll never get... You won't get those 3 hours back. But you'll get
the
satisfaction...
That's what the funnel and the bleach is for.
The only pay-per-view I would recommend anyone buying from TNA is where all the X-Division wrestlers are wrestling. Extravaganza. That's it. The others are just... I can't even say it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's, you know, I almost wish I could put it to VHS just so I could erase it. So it's, you know, I'll just watch it fade like so. Yeah. So, anyway...
I even stopped watching the pay-per-views through the certain means that I will not get into. Last one of theirs I watched was the one where they had Kevin Nash, DDP, and Monty Brown in a battle, in a mini battle royal sort of thing. I don't remember what match. TNA's got so many match varieties, you lose track of it. And then they had Monty Brown lose to Jeff Jarrett after that, when everybody wanted him to win against Jeff Jarrett, because Jeff Jarrett had a stranglehold on that title back then.
And I've actually attended a couple of TNA pay-per-views, and don't get me wrong, I had fun. I mean, I was fortunate to be at Bound for Glory 06, which is more than I can say for going to Lockdown 07. No, TNA, you will never be forgiven for forgetting your bloody cage!
I did come close to going to one, though. When I was still living in New Jersey, I almost went to the one where they had the Sting Mick Foley main event, but I was busy that night, so I couldn't go.
No, it's all good. I just, you know, we're not going to let TNA live Lockdown 07 down. They don't deserve it. Especially after they tried to do the hokey sound effects and lighting effects when they electrified the cage.
Oh.
I don't know how it looked on video, but live, there should have been a riot. We should have had a riot.
I haven't seen the video of that or live, but did whoever get hit go into the cage convulsed like when they did that electric chair thing in WCW?
It was bad. I mean, this was really, really bad.
Bully Ray reacted with when he got thrown into the cage, it was like, man, are you on fire or something? Like, what's wrong with you?
Oh yeah, and then the crowd just shit all over it. And then again, we shit over about half the show, but that's beside the point. Who says they don't do Divas storylines? We have been dealing with Caitlyn and her stalker, I mean secret admirer. Which, you know, a few jokes have gone around. Oh, it's Cody Rhodes, you know, being the, you know, since he's got the porn stash, he's going to be the creepy stalker. No. I've heard a more sinister theory, Ethan.
Now, what would that be?
The Bellas are stringing her along.
Ooh. You know what? For what they've got going on, I wouldn't put it past them for story.
Chris, it would certainly be in the Bella's character.
Yeah, it would, and I kind of think they hinted that on Monday when they had her step out through behind the curtain. So it's kind of like they telegraphed how it's going to end to me. Anyway, they could swerve us. They could pull a Russo. But I'll just enjoy the moments with Undercover Kali while they last, so.
Shane, would you care to comment about Kali with a porn stash?
Oh, you mean Dr. Phil? The Indian version? It's like, seriously, man. Like, I can't take him seriously anymore. It's like, this guy goes from coming out and dominating The Undertaker to becoming the Indian version of Dr. Phil. Kali, how you have fallen. And that's a big fall for a 7-foot giant.
Just given how little he can do anymore, I think they've pretty much, that's the only direction they could go with him.
Well, I'm sorry, and this is going to sound mean, but just release the guy. Let him go back to India and be a police officer.
I think they should let him go and let him go back to Hollywood and have him, you know, get him back in the movies. Let him go play around in the movies for a little bit.
You know, this may sound blasphemous, but this is only from my knowledge watching old clips.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I see Kali's matches, and he doesn't really look as less mobile as late in his career, like 1989, 1990, Andre the Giant, though. That's just me. Maybe I'm just need to look better at it, but that's how I see it.
Well, given that I was at the inaugural Punjabi prison match,
mm-hmm.
and I have to give Kali points for at least trying to climb the exterior of the cage when he was scratched.
Wait a minute, Kali wasn't the first one?
Sort of. This was the night of the elevated liver enzymes, so the match was turned into Undertaker Big Show.
Okay. I didn't see the pay-per-view, so I didn't know if he actually did anything with it. So.
Well, what they did was that late in the match, Kali and Ranjan Singh came out and started climbing the exterior of the cage, and Kali got about 2/3 of the way up, so, you know, that's a little further than some of us could probably get if we had to climb this silly thing. Speaking of big guys, I have to give JBL props for a line he said during the Daniel Bryan Dean Ambrose match, where they were trying to make a point that Ambrose was eccentric, weird, you know, out there. To which JBL says, he's fighting a guy with a goat face whose best friend wears a mask, and you're telling me that Dean's the weird dude?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. So, well, our dude in the mask, we already know that Kane has a degree in English and also seems to be a bit politically minded. So Mr. Jacobs, the man behind the mask, got his arm twisted to start writing for the Daily Caller website.
Oh.
And his byline, the picture, he's not wearing his mask.
You kind of should. I mean, you don't want to, you know, mesh the two things together, or else you can't be taken seriously.
I think he has his mask off because he wants to be taken seriously, because he's libertarian. I've heard somebody called him a Tea Party or something. You guys called him a libertarian.
I've always known him to be a libertarian, minded. I know he goes to a few liberty-minded events. I think he was a speaker at the Free State Project in New Hampshire a couple of years back.
Okay. I just, you know, this is why I don't go on Red State, Blue State. I would be absolutely useless.
Yeah.
But Kane's been writing for Daily Caller since the beginning of May, and has a couple of articles up, and, you know, good for him. You know, this something to transition to if it looks like he, you know, he's going to be wrapping up here in the next year or so. This probably gives him something to do on the road, you know, between shows. Yeah. So we have Kane out of character. And we have a second sighting of the American Badass.
Ah, yes.
Oh, God.
I missed this one.
Let me see if I still have the video, and I'll send it to you guys.
Enter that competition just to get his bike.
I would enter the competition just to meet the man. Essentially, we joked on the previous episode about how much of a doofus Taker, Mark Calloway, American Badass, whichever version you want to relate here, can be. This one, he was actually being a little more serious, but he's put together this raffle where a $10 donation will put you in to win a custom chopper of his. Somebody refresh my memory. Is that the same bike he showed off in the church ad? Do we know?
Yes, I believe it was.
Okay. Which I admit I was drooling a bit over that bike in the ad. But yes, we have the American Badass raffling off this bike. You go to www.spurraffle.com, and he said it himself, you can enter as many times as you want. Granted, it's $10 every time you enter, but you can enter as many times as you want for a chance to win this bike. And that's a pretty sweet bike that I wouldn't be able to reach anything on. This bike was made for a 7-foot tall guy. I'm 5 foot nothing.
I'm sure they've got adjustable things on it somewhere.
Personally, I would probably turn around and raffle it off myself. hi. Shane, do you think they'll ship it to Australia if you win?
Oh, you'd hope so. If not, it's just like, oh, well. It's like, I missed out on two things then. I don't get the bike and I don't get the meat taker. This sucks. But I helped a good cause, so it's all good.
There you go. Ethan, you anywhere near a motorcycle kind of guy?
No, not even. I can't even sit on a bicycle properly.
I've never ridden a motorcycle myself. But that'd be a hell of a conversation piece. I don't even know where I'd put it.
I have, and I can tell you right now, it is not fun falling off.
No. I've heard too many stories. And I've seen too many incidents when it comes to that. So if you got $10, 10 minutes, and you'd like a crack at meeting the man, please, www.spurraffle.com. Help the guy out. I probably should have saved that for the last story, but this last one is a bit facepalm worthy and happened outside of the ring to a point. Jay Briscoe decided to get a little political when they were talking about allowing gay marriage in Delaware. His comment was a little caustic. Actually, it was a lot caustic. And this one I actually have the quote for. If it will load properly. Load, damn you. Anyway,
I've seen that comment that you're referring to, and actually I'll look it up, because I actually think Jim Ross himself has actually had a bit of a bit of a dig at Briscoe here with that topic.
Well, I have the quote. Yeah, I have the quote. The Delaware Senate passed a bill that allows same-sex couples to get married. If that makes you happy, then congratulations. Try and teach my kids that there's nothing wrong with that, and I'll fucking shoot you. That's a bit harsh, Jay.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand where he's coming from. This is, you know, personally, what you do behind the doors to your residence is none of my freaking business, and it's not the government's either. But this was probably not the way to go about it.
Yeah,
this sounds even worse than a certain warrior's quote about gayness. But first of all, I must admit I'm in Florida. I've seen some people I might have thought were gay, but that's their business. If they want to do it, that's fine with them. It's not my business to judge them. It's not their business to judge me. That's how I see it, personally.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. You know, what you do on your own time is your own business. And unfortunately, I have seen people, you know, because of what they do on their spare time, if it gets to the right ears, you know.
Well, it's not like it wouldn't have gotten to the right ears anyways, due to the fact that I'm pretty sure that Jim Ross follows the Briscoes, because he's made that very public knowledge that he's a big fan of the Briscoes. And there was a rumor that they would have got called up, but now with what Jay's done, that's probably put their future of getting called up in jeopardy.
Well, Jay has been trying to fix this. He did issue a public apology. I feel strongly about how and who should teach kids about certain things, but I showed poor judgment by using that analogy, and I'm sorry. Which, you know, damage control.
Yeah, pretty much.
But of course.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, well, damage control has actually been issued, as Ring of Honor has actually issued the following statement. Jay Briscoe would like to again express his sincerest apologies and regrets to all, especially for his young fans, for his recent hateful Twitter comment. Ring of Honor has insisted that Jay also make a public apology at the Ring of Honor event this Saturday. Jay will address the public during said event. In addition to this apology, Ring of Honor and Jay have agreed that he will donate his full pay from the next two Ring of Honor events to the Partners Against Hate charitable organization. And Partners Against Hate was created to help prevent, deter, and reduce juvenile hate-related behavior.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you punish somebody saying stupid crap. That is how you punish an employee when they say something stupid. I mean, yeah, you could outright fire them, but why give them the benefit of 99 weeks of unemployment when you can publicly humiliate them? Oh, is that my heel talking?
and not the WWE usual way of humiliating somebody publicly. Giving them a stupid gimmick, you make them have to go out in public and apologize and make them lose money while still working. That's the way to do it.
Right. WWE's idea of punishment is usually
polka dot ring attire.
Well, no, and there's all kinds of other ribs that they've done. Yeah. They've, you know,
Zaba Simba, for example.
Because Fandango is not a punishment. And if it is, you know, Fandango's just turned it all on its ear.
Well, for some of us, it's quite a punishment. Not for him, though.
I like the fact, though, that he still gets to be weird without really weirding out anybody. Except maybe Lillian Garcia, but that's a whole another can of worms, and I don't need the engineer jumping in here at this point. I think that was everything I wanted to cover. Unless anybody else had come across things.
No. All of our things, I think, are pretty much in place.
Okay. So before we call it a show, Ethan, do you have anything to promote?
Yes. Coming up on Memorial Day weekend, myself and a few other of my partners in crime, so to speak, will be at Strategicon at... Sorry. At Gateway...
No, you're not.
some people would disapprove, but... We will be doing some live game shows at the Sheridan Gateway on Memorial Day weekend for Strategicon's Gateway GameX 2013. Should be a lot of fun.
All right. Chris, I know you have something to promote.
Yep, I'm still working on getting it updated again. It's just a lot of writer's block I've had, but you can find my videos at http://mrcmwaters.blogspot.com, Waters Falls Industries, where I put myself on camera and I try to review stuff.
And Shano, do you have anything to promote?
Do I ever have anything to promote?
I always ask.
Yeah, I know, but no, I don't have anything to promote. But thank you for asking.
For anybody who enjoys listening to our podcast and wants to listen to prior episodes, you can always look us up at clw83.com. You can also take us along with the Stitcher app, which is available for Apple iSystems and for Android. We also have been picked up by a group called Player.fm. This is one that you can download for, I believe it's only for Android systems at this point. But this will be another place for you can access content, not only just the North American Wrestling Connection, but all of our shows with Touch 'Em All and Red State Blue State and Down the Tubes and the BS Big Show and a few other shows that I will neglect to mention, so I will probably get yelled at after we go off the air. But I myself personally do not have anything to promote because I am right here. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. For Chris Waters, for Shane Beeman, for Ethan Muslin, my name is Nikki Heyman. Please tune in next week, or we'll have even more nonsense to talk about.
AWC Media.